Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We continue on the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio as we continue to mourn the passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna as the two of them and seven other people did pass away yesterday in a tragic helicopter accident. And to get more perspective on the career of Kobe Bryant, we welcome in a Hall of Fame coach, and that's Larry Brown, who's kind enough to give us a few minutes right now on CBS Sports Radio. Coach, unfortunate to catch up during these circumstances, but can't thank you enough for making a few minutes, and how are you?
It's been a tough 24 hours or more. You know, I got the news shortly after 10 and yesterday, and you can only imagine my phone's been going off the hook and been trying to figure out, you know, things to say about Kobe and try to figure out why something like this has to happen. I'm not doing a very good job of it.
It's heartbreaking and obviously shocking when you hear the news yesterday, because this is someone that was doing something that he loved with his daughter. When you've had some time now, just what are those thoughts as you continue to reflect on Kobe? I know it's so shocking.
A lot of things come up right away. My first thing, when I heard he's taking his daughter to an AAU basketball game, you know, and he's a father. And then there were some other people on the plane, you know, a father and daughter. And so, you know, you realize right away he's more than just a basketball player. I started to think when he retired, he was doing great things. And he was such a good role model for some of these young kids because, you know, a lot of kids, you know, I was fortunate enough to be a college coach and pro coach as well, but so many kids in a generation grew up wanting to be like Oscar or Wilt or Jerry West. And then there was, you know, Dr. J, Larry Bird, Magic. And of course, Michael and, you know, Allen Iverson. And then this generation now, it's Kobe. You know, because when I coached, so many kids knew that I was a pro coach. They'd ask me about certain players. And, you know, I coached against Kobe my whole career and, you know, were fortunate enough to play him twice in the finals. And he was such a great role model for these kids. I remember my college coach told me that, you know, that talent is a gift from God, character is a choice. It's obvious Kobe had unbelievable talent, but he might have been the hardest worker we've ever seen in our sport. And you tell that to kids that it's not an accident that he was able to achieve what he did, 18 All-Star appearances, 11 first team, you know, NBA, five championships, 81 points, second highest to Wilt, 60 points in his last game, 61 in the Garden. It can go on and on. You know, I got this firsthand knowledge. There's an ABCD camp by Nike with the best 100 players, high school players. And I remember this specifically. They asked these kids if they wanted to watch Kobe work out, and actually they all did. And they said, well, be ready at, you know, 5:45, you know, and we'll take you to watch him work out. And they all thought it was 5:35 in the afternoon. You know, they had no idea that this guy on the off season worked out early morning, late afternoon throughout his whole career. And Mitch Kupchak, as he got older, the GM had to try to tell him to tone it down. And then for me, you know, being a parent, you see the connection between him and his daughters, his wife. I mean, in the fact that he championed women's basketball and his daughter, he was hoping she'd go to Connecticut. And, you know, think about what that meant to, you know, young girls that aspire to play in the WNBA or represent our country or, you know, just play. I mean, there were so many positive things that he was prepared to do. And now these young kids that need role models like him, you know, unfortunately, he's not going to be around.
Basketball Hall of Famer Larry Brown here with us as we remember the life of Kobe Bryant. And that's the real shame of it, Coach. As you alluded to it right there, this was someone that has accomplished so much in the game of basketball. But after his career, it looked like he was driven to accomplish more than he actually did on the court, off the court, post-playing.
Yeah, I heard Jerry West and Kareem and, you know, read Phil Jackson, so many of their comments about this guy as a person. I'll give you an amazing thing. Maryland, Mark Turgeon played for me and coached with me. Maryland beat Indiana yesterday on the road, which is an unbelievable win. They came from way behind, won in the last second. And he told me his kids were devastated more about Kobe's passing than what they had just accomplished. When it was announced that he passed away, I saw Jalen Rose's interview and Jay Williams and all these young players and how they were reacting. It just blew me away, made me feel so very, very sad, because he was so much more than, you know, we can ever imagine. I've known Kobe, you know, a while. I was supposed to coach him on the 2004 Olympic team, and it didn't work out. But speaking to him, I knew how much it meant for him to represent our country. But to see about the outpouring of feelings for this guy, not only here in our country, but all over the world, because he's made it. And, you know, the NBA and David Stern have done an amazing job, and Adam continuing this, making this a world game, a world sport. But I heard Joel Embiid say he started playing basketball because of Kobe Bryant. So it's kind of incredible. It's like nothing. You know, I remember when President Kennedy died. I was on my way from Goodyear, Akron, Ohio, to North Carolina, and driving, I saw people going to churches and kept listening on the radio. And same thing yesterday happened. And we're talking about a basketball player. It is incredible.
What was it like to prepare for him when he was the opponent, Coach?
I didn't have to guard him. You know, it was pretty interesting because the only way you could beat the Lakers, you know, when he was with Shaq, and is that if you had great perimeter defenders and big people that could take multiple fouls. Because if he was playing today, the way they call fouls and the way he took the ball to the basket, he'd average 50. Michael would average 50. Allen Iverson would average 50. But I used to tell our players before we played a team, when we gave a scouting report, whoever was going to guard, you know, a particular player, stand up and tell us how you're going to try to guard him and then how you think we should approach it. And most of my players would say, you know, I hope the rim is the size of a thimble tonight instead of a bathtub, because you couldn't stop him. You had to have totally five guys committed to help and hope that he didn't have a great scoring night.
You know what it's like when someone's talented, but it's more than just talent that wins out at the next level. I always remember when I would see your practices, even when you were at SMU and you would come to Leah Chorus Center at Temple University, you would always say, play the right way. How did Kobe not only play the right way, but take it to the next level, in your opinion? Because you're right, you know, hearing you reflect as we're talking to Larry Brown, it wasn't just kids in America that looked up to him. It was all over the world. And it's really just remarkable how one person can not only dominate on the basketball court, but then also touch so many other people as well.
Well, he spoke three languages, I think, for sure. And whenever foreign journalists would talk to him, he'd answer basically in the language, as respectful as can be. His desire to win each and every night blew me away. You know, that was incredible. But, you know, you just, when you, and you're in this game this long, kids that I coach, they know I was a new Wilt. You know, I watched Oscar play, I watched Jerry West play, and then Coach David Thompson, David Robinson, you know, been involved with Michael, Larry Bird, Magic, all these guys. And Kobe's name always comes up. And he was not only a talented offensive player, he was a great defender as well. I mean, and people don't realize that. You know, most of the time coaches don't let their best player guard their best player, the other team's best player, for fear they'd get into foul trouble, or maybe they don't have the ability on the defensive end that they may have in the offensive end. But Kobe guarded the best player night in and night out, just like Michael. And you don't find that very much. You know, we talk about superstars, it's always offensively, but, you know, Kobe always used to, I think, brag to me more about his defense than all the other things he did. You know, he's a coach's dream. He might have challenged you because he was so bright. A lot of people thought maybe he was selfish. He just had this will to win. You know, I heard a lot of people tell me Allen was selfish. No. Everybody on our team knew that we needed Allen to score, and he had this will to win so bad that we dealt with it. I think that's the way most people felt about Kobe. This will to win far exceeded anything that anybody else had. And his will to prepare was even greater than that.
I know the 1996 draft, you were with the Pacers. When was the first time that you met Kobe Bryant, or you remember meeting him?
Oh, I didn't meet him until he got in the league, but we sent Courtney Whitney to scout him, and Courtney loved him. Then we sent somebody else I won't mention to scout him, and he had a highest position. He didn't think he was quite ready or good enough. And we drafted Dampier. And I had heard from other people how great Kobe was. And, you know, and then John Calipari was coaching the Nets at the time. They had the eighth pick. He wanted to draft Kobe. He called me about it and asked me my feelings. And he told me their owners were against it, and he finally convinced them to draft Kobe, and they gave him one stipulation. If Kittles was available, they had to take Kittles. Well, Kittles was available. They took Kittles. John would probably still be with the Brooklyn Nets. And if I'd have drafted him, I'd probably still be working with Donnie in Indiana.
Last one for the Hall of Famer and Larry Brown. You know, end this conversation, Kobe Bryant, when someone asks you about him in, let's say, 5-10 years, that wasn't able to see him play, didn't know who he was, how would you describe Kobe Bryant to someone, Coach?
Oh, he's a better person than a player. You know, sometimes when somebody dies, you say nice things about him because he passed away. But the truth is, you know, he was a better guy. And he impacted so many lives. And he's going to continue to do that. But I don't know. His legacy to me was if you want to be special, it's not about the gift you have. It's about how you use it and how hard you have to prepare. And he prepared. He took his ability to the max and made our game better.
Coach, can't thank you enough. Once again, my condolences to you and the entire NBA family, and always do appreciate your time. Thanks so much and be well.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.